direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. It's been we had that weird thing where we split last episode up. But we're back now.
No, that was last week.
Somehow I have a cough again. Somehow I'm sick again.
I have the black lung.
Yeah, I got the black lung pop, just like all the people that voted for Trump, and now they don't have health care. We have Patrick in the studio today. We have Jake, and we have John. Howdy. It's the beard crew.
It's the boys.
I'm the only
non-beard. No girls allowed.
No G. N-G-A.
Ain't no estrogen in the room.
We are members of the Society of Gross, Get Rid of Slimy Girls.
Yes.
If you remember that from your Calvin and Hobbes.
Yep. Thank you, Bill Watterson.
The He-Man Woman Haters Club.
How you doing, boys?
Boys.
Good. How you been?
Chilling.
Good. The boys are back in town.
Boys are back in town.
That could be the Bus Boys or Thin Lizzy. Yeah.
I was thinking of the Bus Boys from Ghostbusters.
I just thought he was thinking of the Beastie Boys.
Oh, yeah.
48 Hours.
The B-Boys. All right, here we go. Let's talk about it, guys. What are we
talking about?
We're going to kick it off. We're a week late, but we're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Dollar short. I am probably the odd man out of the group.
Why? Wait. Hold on.
Ah.
And go. I'm ready for all the unadulterated love that we're going to hear for this.
No pressure, huh?
I kid. What's up? You didn't like it?
No. I loved it.
Oh, okay.
And I loved it more than the first one.
Oh.
That's
why you're the odd man out.
Yeah. Okay. I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed the first one. The first one was fantastic, and it's a great movie, and the soundtrack really made that movie.
Yeah.
Of course. But this one had more emotion and more sentimental stuff for me, so yeah. I really
Hey, by the way, James Gunn, F you for Father and Son.
Yeah, I know. I was crying.
By Cat Stevens and trying to make me cry. It didn't work.
It was close.
But God bless it, I got close.
Yondu died. Spoiler.
Hey, Everybody's seen it.
Oh.
You didn't even say spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Well, if anybody wanted
to see
it.
We're a week late, okay?
They've probably seen it by now, right?
Yeah.
Anybody wanted to see it?
Yeah.
But yeah.
That part made me really sad.
Hey, everybody, Yondu's dead.
And then he had to do the whole speech at the end, like the funeral. I had a good dad. He really turned out to be like David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Good stuff.
It was great. I loved it.
I like when Yondu said, I am your father.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
I liked it when he said, Mary Poppins, y'all.
That was funny.
Mary Poppins.
But overall, it was a fantastic movie. It was really, really well done. I know a lot of people said, you know, it wasn't as good as the first, but I thought it was better because they took more emotion with it and they went further and you really delved more into the characters, which I thought was more enjoyable. The fact that, you know, Rocket's like Yondu in the sense that he's always pushing people away.
Yeah, that's a cool scene.
You were able to make the parallels, and then it was so much fan service too. You had Howard the Duck, you had the original Guardians of the Galaxies, you had a bunch of people. It was so good. You saw Adam Warlock at the end, which a lot of people are going, yeah, so what? He's the main opposer of Thanos. He is the main antagonist of
Thanos. You've read all this.
I've read several of them, yes. Yeah. But I know who he was. So when that happened, I was like, oh, crap, jeez.
So which one's Adam Warlock?
Adam Warlock's the gold guy with the blonde hair, the red robe. Okay. But it was really cool to see that. And everybody in the theater's like, yeah, they're going to call him Adam. Who cares? Who is he? And I'm sitting there like, that's Adam Warlock. That's the Adam Warlock, which was really cool.
I'm listening. Keep going. I'm looking something up, but we're.
And then just like the fact that, you know, it was like 5 mini credit scenes was really cool. I thought that was fun.
You got Teenage Groot.
Yeah, you got Teenage Groot, which a lot of people are like, yeah, we're going to see him in the next movie as Teenage Groot, which I doubt it.
No.
By that time, he might be full grown.
He's going to be full grown just because if you look at the first one, he was, you know, an adult. And then at the end of the movie, you see a brief clip. He's a baby.
Yeah.
The next one, he's a child. Yeah. And then the end of the movie, he's brief clip. He's a teenager. So by the next movie,
also, I think they've done all they can with a young Groot. It's time to get him back to where he was.
I think that was, you know, a cute joke, but I think they're ready to move on.
I was really worried. I will tell you this honestly: the opening credit sequence had me worried. There was so much cuteness with the baby Groot.
Oh,
I was like,
it.
I was like, that didn't work for me. But
I love ELO, so I thought the fact that they opened with Mr. Blue Sky,
that was really cool. I just like the fact that he's just having his own fun. I thought it was cool. I enjoyed that part.
I love
that
all the stuff in the background.
Shit's going off in the back, and he's just like...
That was funny. It's not even in focus. You know that there's this huge thing, this squid thing with a million fangs, and it's all happening behind...
Well, I just felt like that had been done already with Star-Lord in the first one, where he's kind of doing the... You know, he's doing everything to Redbone.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like... I was a little worried. I was like, oh, is this going to be all... Is this going to be like Minions? Are we just...
Yeah.
Of course, we want to merchandise it because Disney owns it now.
But even then, like, I don't see as much stuff as far as merchandising.
It picked up for me after that. It was. What did you like, Jake?
I thought it was great. Patrick already mentioned it, but I did love that it focused more on the character interactions and the relationship between each other from the first one. Mm-hmm. I really, really like that one. And then Star-Lord, spoiler, meeting his father and then having that whole sequence going on with that and what's her name? Gamora?
Yeah, that was cute.
Gamora was cute. Drax, I thought that whole thing with him and Mantis was super, super funny.
That was funny.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't tell you you're beautiful, you're ugly.
you're so ugly. So you know that person, like, when someone loves you, they truly love you for who you are because you're so ugly.
Yeah. Justine, it was, I don't know why, but she had fallen asleep the first time we saw it. So she missed the whole purpose of why Mantis was there. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the movie, she's like, I don't even know why she was in this movie. It didn't make sense. And I'm like, you totally missed this whole part. So
she had a purpose, but she went through it.
She went to go see it again. She's like, oh, that makes so much more sense. She's cool. I'm like, yeah, she's pretty badass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did you guys think of the reference to the original?
That was cool.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
I wasn't even upset that it was Sylvester Stallone.
What was that?
Did you sit through all five credit scenes?
Yep.
So you see the five of them together. It's Sylvester Stallone. Yondu was part of the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Michelle Yeoh was in there.
Michelle Yeoh. She was cool.
Ving Rhames is back there.
Yeah. But it was just like an homage to the original group.
I didn't even realize it was. I never read that comic. There was an original Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm.
Spin-off.
Would that have been like the 60s?
Yeah. It's older. It looks cool. But they did a really cool job. And then the fact they had the dog in the credit scene,
the Russian dog.
Well, it was almost like an in memoriam. That was really cool.
For the Russian dog from the collectors. He was in one.
Yeah,
he got away from me. What do you guys think of Stan Lee?
Watcher?
Now we know he's a watcher.
Yeah, it was cool.
Well, is he a watcher? He's sitting up there with
the
watchers.
He's talking with the watchers.
I'll
tell you what, though. The watcher looks so cool. They look so cool. I was like, oh, my God, that was cool. Perfect.
Yeah. It's funny how they haven't – this is the first time you've seen a watcher in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah.
Well, but it explained, why he's always showing up, which was kind of cool.
We know they're out there.
I liked what they did with Kurt Russell. I thought he did a great job.
My only complaint about Kurt Russell was I wanted him to be more Kurt Russell. I wanted him to be more Big Trouble in Little China Kurt Russell.
That's not the character, though.
Yeah. That would've been awesome. Yeah, but he was great. And
that was a tricky character because you had to love him and then you had to hate him.
Yeah.
He could pull that off.
And then when you actually see Ego the Planet,
and
it's actually the face, which was really cool because that was just like the comic book.
Right, right.
Which was really cool.
Beginning
really
and end weren't great for me because I never like we're going to fight a giant planet or we're going to fight a giant ball of light or
we're going to fight a giant
ball of energy.
Death Star?
The Death Star is fine because there's actually people flying ships. The Death Star isn't alive.
Some might say it's teeming with life.
It is, but that's actually ships coming at you. A big battle station is different than, blowing up the Bismarck, sinking the Bismarck is a lot different than, we have to fight an island that's come to life or something like that.
Yeah, it's very tough. The third act of these movies are always tough.
Feel like they were really fighting a planet. They were fighting him.
Also, it's the usual.
It just happened to be a planet.
The fate of the universe is at stake.
Yeah.
And that's always tough to pull off because every one of these movies ends with that sort of.
I like that they said they could raise their prices now.
Yeah, that's true. I thought they did a great job with Rocket. Yeah.
He had a lot of emotion, too, which was really nice.
Yeah,
you felt more.
They gave him more depth.
Yeah, that moment with Yondu was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
That was a great moment.
Oh, when he was fixing the ship and then the Ravagers all came. And so you hear him singing the song and he's just, oh, so cool.
I also love when Baby Groot keeps giving him the wrong stuff, and he finally like gives him a desk. He drags a desk over. No, that's a desk. What I need is what's in this drawer. Brings him the drawer, yeah.
Did you, John, like it as much as you liked the first one, or no?
You know, I had a lot of fun, but yeah, I do think the first one was best. But it's easy to say that because part of what made the first one so great is it was completely unexpected.
Yeah,
it was completely just out of left field, and you can never reproduce that effect.
Very true.
So all you can do is try to do the best you can now that you know what's coming. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I'd probably give the edge to the first one, but it's not like it was a bad film.
Jake,
that's a tough one. I would say maybe I like the second one a little bit more just because there was more character depth.
You get more of everything, that's for sure.
You get more interaction between everyone, so you get to see different personalities and parallels with who.
Despite my misgivings about the beginning and the end, I still loved it. I had a great time with it. It was fun. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like going to the movies and having fun.
And what these movies are. It's just pure fun.
So we went with my wife and my daughter, and then she pulled a fast one because she said the next day – she had done a fundraiser earlier in the year, and she said, oh, yeah, we won the fundraiser, and a bunch of us get to go to the movie, so we're going to see Guardians of the Galaxy again. So she went to see it the very next day. She saw it the night before, and then we saw it again. So, and she loved it. She loved it just as much the second time. My wife has seen it twice as well.
Okay.
Because a friend of the show, our friend Carly, who was here, actually worked on this movie. She was a production assistant.
Oh, yeah. And she didn't call us?
And now she's moved on. They actually had a screening. They rented out a movie theater on last Saturday. I wasn't able to go.
Didn't call the rest
of us?
Didn't
call the rest of us. Yeah,
she doesn't know.
I could have told you guys.
But you didn't. You could have.
You could have.
So did you like it better than the first one?
I did not like it better than the first one, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, still good.
Yeah.
Still good. And it's the same thing with you, John. I didn't... It just came out of left field, and it was much better than I expected it. I was hooked by the first trailer, and I thought, this looks interesting. But then it was so much – it was a lot – it was just fun. It was a fun movie.
That's what you can never – all those movies like 48 Hours. Think about like 48 Hours or Beverly Hills Cop or The Hangover. You know, they come out of left field. You're not expecting it. It's fun and sort of fast and sort of wisecracky. And it's very tough to do it again.
Yeah.
Because now you see it coming. And all they can do is give you the same characters with the same situations.
Well, yeah, because then you're back where you started.
But this one went deeper. With all the characters, it went a little deeper, which made it good.
Well, that was cool, too, because, I mean, the fact that you really can only do the same thing, the fact that they said, hey, let's push it and let's go deeper, let's put emotion into it. Was really nice.
And you like all the characters. It works. Yeah. None of these characters are superfluous. They're all there.
Everybody matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And whoever thought you'd care about Yondu?
I know, right?
The whole audience is going, oh, we thought he was a douchebag.
No.
Yeah. He's only kind of a douchebag.
All the reasons behind why he didn't, give him. It's like,
crap. And he even says it again. I love how he repeats it. He says, you were thin. You could get into places and steal stuff we couldn't. He just keeps repeating it. It was like,
it was really good.
I really enjoyed just adding the emotional depth, but also adding they didn't go too much giving you the stuff you liked. I thought, like, Drax is still hilarious, but they didn't go overboard. And I love the scene you brought it up where Rocket takes everybody on in the forest because he's running around like a raccoon.
That was awesome.
And that looked really cool. That was a really cool,
so pissed off. I'm not a damn raccoon.
And it just shows you how much of a threat he is. It shows you that he can be a threat. He can be.
He's not just cute and adorable. Mm-mm. He is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Which is what it is in the comic books. He is insane in the comic books.
Yeah, that's awesome. I loved it. I did like it a lot. And there were a lot of great references. There was all the stuff when they're jumping and they're time jumping, and you see Stan Lee. There's a lot of Easter eggs.
Yeah. There's a bunch.
It looked like a John Crick Volusia. It looked like a Tex Avery cartoon where they're going through all the warps.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the eyes all bulging.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute, we're going to have to do how many of these and what? How much time?
You can only do 7 jumps in a row. We're doing 400.
I didn't know this till the end, but Yondu's second in command, the skinny guy, that's Steve, his brother.
That's the director's brother.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I know somebody who ran into him randomly on the street, like right before the movie came out. He's like, oh, my God, it's James Gunn's brother. And everybody was like, who? I'm like, yeah, that's the dude from
Steve.
It's the dude from
he was cool.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
I found that out the other day. I was like, really? That's cool.
Yeah. So what I wanted to talk about leading after, so we all give it thumbs up. I enjoyed
thumbs
it.
Up? Yeah. Thumbs up. Absolutely.
Oh, by the way, my favorite movie of the year is still Get Out, and it is on digital. You can get it. You can rent it on digital. Get Out. Check it out. It's awesome. You can rent it or buy it on Amazon Digital. So get it.
Did it beat out Arrival?
I'm talking this year.
No, for you.
Was Arrival this year or last year?
Last year. Last year was Arrival. Get Out so far is my favorite movie in 2017.
I heard a lot of good things. Out. Wasn't it written by
Jordan Peele, directed by Jordan Peele.
I think I'm going to try it today. It's playing down at the theater on Rosecrans and
La Mirada. The Dollar Theater.
Yeah, so I might go today and try to catch that. Also, Life is playing there. I missed Life, and it's there as well.
Who's in Life? What's in Life?
That's the one that's kind of like Alien.
Isn't that the question?
Did anybody see that? The one where it's kind of like Alien, where they're out there, they get a little sprout, and it turns into
I've heard really good things about Thing. I never saw it.
It's the same guy that wrote Deadpool. Which is why
it's got Ryan Reynolds.
Is in it. Yeah,
that thing got massive thumbs up, and that's also playing there. So I might try to get
that went away right away.
It did, and people said bad timing because it's too close to Alien Covenant. You know.
Well, we uncovered something. Let's finish up with what I wanted to go with. I didn't ask you this, John, because I know you'll be able to pull it off the top of your heads. But I told the boys, I said, be ready to talk about your favorite movie soundtracks, because obviously with the Guardians of the Galaxy, the soundtrack is a big part of it. John, did you have any standout songs from Volume 2? Because I know this is right in your wheelhouse, these songs.
Yeah. Well, it was great to see to hear My Sweet Lord. And that was a great moment for them to pull out My Sweet Lord when they're touring the planet, and it's obvious that he's a god.
Yes.
I thought that was really cool, and it worked. And I liked the kickoff with Mr. Blue Sky. There's some really obscure stuff. There's a couple tracks that are really obscure. They're like regional hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I enjoyed Brandy and Father and Son. That was just, at the end, it was like, oh!
Brandy's like a key component to the whole movie.
Yeah. If they had done like Cat's Cradle at the end, I just wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah, I was thinking that was.
I thought that's what it was going to be.
They could have done that, yeah.
But I was just like, I wouldn't be able to handle that.
Yeah, that might. I thought that maybe they'd go in that direction.
There you go, John.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah, I love the soundtrack for this one.
Now listen, you know I'm not the biggest Beatles fan.
Yes.
But that is a great song.
Well, technically, it's not
by the
Beatles.
Late great George Harrison.
It's George Harrison.
It's George solo. That's a
so
great,
you can accept that.
I can accept
that. And that's a great album. That's the best album he ever did. It was like a 3-record set, and every song on there is amazing.
What is the name of that set, John?
All Things Must Pass.
All right.
It's really a 2-record set. The third disc is like a massive jam with him and Eric Clapton and Dave Mason and all these guys. But for a 2-record set, those were mostly songs that he had been writing clear back to like when he was with the Beatles, Abbey Road. And the White Album, there were songs that some of them he had proposed, and Lennon and McCartney just went, no room for it.
Ugh.
Not good enough. So he had this monster stash of songs, so they break up, and like less than a year later, he's got enough for a 2-record set. Every track is
gem. I'll show you sons of bitches.
And that's the thing. My Sweet Lord goes to number one. He's got a second hit with What Is Life. That album, I mean, for a 3-record set to be in the top of the charts, that was the album of, you know. Everybody had that album. And that song, it's so funny. John Lennon once said, he said, that year when My Sweet Lord came out, every time he turned on the radio, that song was playing. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I'm beginning to think there might be something out there. There must be one. Because every time I turn on the radio, I'm getting it in my ear, you know? So, yeah. And that's a Phil Spector production. And so it's like a wall of sound. He's got a million people playing on it.
Yeah.
He's got like 4 guitars. Every track is
It's nice to feel that.
Yeah.
The wall of sound.
Yeah. Sometimes you need a wall of sound.
There is no wall of sound like the Phil Spector Christmas album.
Yeah, no shit.
To keep you
that
here.
Thing is like just
you know that's why the you know that's why you know Lennon and Harrison they used Phil Spector on the first couple solo albums because they said this is the guy we grew up on the Ronettes and Darlene Love this is the sound we want you know so both of those guys
this is the
used
sound
him. But they also thought that he was batshit crazy.
Are you singing Spandau Ballet?
Yeah. You're welcome.
The spell is broken.
I'm sorry, John.
True. You know my love is true. True. Ba, 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 ba.
I bought a ticket to the world.
That's You're a band welcome. I always hated.
John, look at Patrick loves him, though. Oof. Look at his face.
That's the only song I know.
You same. Know them all.
And I know that song because of a movie, and I'm trying to remember what movie it was.
Well, I think they used them in a lot of John Hughes movies. Right?
Yeah.
That was like Simple Minds and NXS, all those psychedelic
movies. I like Simple Minds. I do like Simple Minds.
What movie was that?
What did you like song-wise on this
soundtrack? Oh, I like Gold is the other one. Gold is the other Spandau Ballet. You don't know Gold? You are gold. Oh, man, it's the,
no.
It'll pump you up in a very 80s way.
It's a pretty good, awkward moment.
You'll feel good about yourself.
It's the only song I know.
Bad 80s.
Let's drop this in because I know how much John hates
this. Bad 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Some of that synth.
Why I hate that.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
I left them here. I could have sworn.
Oh my God.
These are the salad days. Thank you for turning away.
I just don't know this.
Please stop talking.
Oh, but I'm not a
here comes.
But I'm proud of you. Nothing like to make me feel small. Luck has left me standing so tall. Gold, always believe in your soul. You've got the power to know.
Shut up.
You're in the show. Always believe in you are gold.
There we go, guys.
They're the Wayne Newton of the 80s.
That could be a James Bond song.
That's cheesy. Yeah, right. A View to a Kill. A View to a Kill. Awful. Duran Duran. I put the Duran Duran just a notch.
Duran Duran.
If you had to pick the worst of the
I thought it was Duran Duran.
Duran Duran.
You thought it was what?
Duran Duran?
The old British group says Duran Duran.
How did we get down this road?
I know. Oh, this is View to a Kill, right? Awful. Duran Duran.
Why the synth so punchy?
Wait, listen to the guitar.
With a view to a kill.
You know, Christopher
sounds
Walken.
Sounds like he's having a seizure.
Christopher Walken was the bad guy in that movie.
Yeah, that's right.
And they even were, it was terrible. They had a clunky piece of dialogue.
Yeah.
Where he goes, it's quite a view. To a kill.
What does that mean?
And you're like, quite a view. Somebody just had to fit
to a
that
kill.
In. Awful.
So you think the Zune prices went up?
And that was Christopher Walken before he was Christopher Walken as we know him now.
I suppose.
That's a shame.
He hadn't done all the Christopher Walken stuff yet.
Yeah, I guess that was before.
Because it was
Pulp
just
Fiction. And
yeah,
before,
yeah, yeah. It's 84, so it's like 5 years away from Deer Hunter.
Yeah, see, after Batman, where he plays Max Schreck.
Yeah, it's not even then. Yeah,
so he's not quite as eccentric as.
Yeah, no, it's like he's a big actor at that.
He's not Christopher Walken yet.
The Dead Zone. You're right. He's not quite where people are doing impressions of
yeah,
him yet.
Not yet.
Dead Zone. He's like that's like a lead character, and he's not playing it odd. Yeah.
Yeah, Max.
There's a point where he starts getting really eccentric in his line readings.
That's the one I love the most.
Oh, two mice were on top of...
Two mice.
They fell in the bucket of cream. One mouse.
Can't make it through a single show without...
Gave up and drowned.
You know the story about his
never
odd
can.
Inflections?
Never
his,
will.
You know the story. He says when he gets a script, he removes all the punctuation. And that's what... He doesn't want to be told where to pause. That's why you've got such odd line readings and inflections, because the first thing he does is remove all the commas
and
periods. So he decides
that's
where he's going
to you just see him going
don't
through with white out.
Tell me how to
no
pronounce
question marks.
That's it.
My sentences.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That kind of got quirky.
Yeah, a little
that's
bit.
Why.
Sorry.
That's
know.
Why.
Quirky. Well, that's different.
Well, yeah. I feel like he did that,
they
too.
They should have Christopher Walken doing Captain... Yeah, exactly. There's another guy who removed a lot of punctuation. Yeah.
And said sabotage.
Sabotage.
Because no one could, you know...
It sickens me. Don't tell me
get to the
sabotage.
Point with him.
It sickens me. It. Oh, God. Have you ever heard that blooper of...
No.
You've never heard William Shatner say sabotage?
I don't remember.
And it's like a director off camera corrects him and says it's sabotage. He says, don't correct me. It sickens me when you correct me.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Sabotage.
Okay, let's listen.
Spock, sabotage the system. Spock, restore the atmosphere. Spock, sabotage the system. I wish I knew what to do. Observations, Mr. Spock.
Okay, we have line 193 again with sabotage, not sabotage.
I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
I don't, and it's funny the fact that he can't say it. He just says, I don't say sabotage.
You say it. I don't say it.
What does he say? You sabotaged my ship.
I sabotage.
I'm thinking that must have been from the animated Star Wars. Where else would, or unless he's doing like a voiceover.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you ever watched any of those, the animated Star Trek series? They've included that in a couple of the box sets.
Oh, yeah, I have it.
Throw it in.
I
have a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. Mm-hmm. You'll be amazed at what you hear. Okay?
Yeah, that was perfect. Yeah. I mean, you can't do
that. I can.
Okay.
I'm trying to find.
All right, Mr. Mackey. Okay.
I'm trying to find this one.
This is William Shatner.
That's all from Howard Stern. I don't want to get sued.
That was a wonderfully deep voice. That was
fuck one. Howard Stern.
Sabotage.
Sabotage.
You've heard it, and you've heard all the Orson Welles stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
Frozen fish sticks and
yeah.
Frozen peas.
Did you ever see the John Candy one on SCTV where he's like, it's the Liberace Christmas show with Orson Welles and John Candy is Orson Welles. He's like, I can't do it. I don't like the way he's looking at me. Lee, he calls him Lee. He calls Liberace Lee. He's like, I'm leaving. And he picks up and takes a turkey with him as he walks out. Oh, it's the best.
Oh, that's great. Oh, so good.
Oh, good stuff. John Candy is Orson Welles.
Did you see the movie about Liberace?
No, oh, the one on
Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
Yes.
Matt Damon? Uh-huh. I heard it was good.
It was good.
That was like Steven Soderbergh directing, right?
I heard it was great.
Yeah.
Wait, what am I saying?
Oh,
I
like Debbie Reynolds plays his mom.
I watched mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
I did watch it.
Did you know that was Debbie Reynolds playing his mom?
Here we go.
I haven't seen it in forever. I probably would recognize you.
All the snow lay round about. Deep, crisp, crunchy. I'm sorry, did I say crunchy? I'm sorry, Lee.
No problem, let's just...
He was moving. Yes, you. Please, we're trying to work here.
Please don't move while Mr.
Wells... You're going to stay there, fine. If not, get out. You're taking up valuable air.
George, let's just try it again.
Sorry, Lee. Good King Wenceslas. Lastly, your light went out. What? Am I on one or two? Who's directing here?
There's too much talking
going on. Come on, fellas, get it together. We haven't got all day.
Let's try it again, please.
Good. Are you on? Good King Wenceslas. No, I'm sorry, Lee. No, it's not working. You don't know what I'm up against here. I wouldn't rehearse an actor in Shakespeare the way you people work
please.
Here. No, I'm sorry.
Please, Arson, please.
No. It's his fault. Him. Yes, you.
I'll fire him.
No,
don't
I'm
worry.
Sorry. You people are pests. No money is worth this.
He takes a turkey with him. Good old John Candy.
And all those lines are from that bootleg.
Is that really?
All of that stuff is him, like, talking to the guy in the... There's one moment where he goes, who's that in the room with you? I take direction from one person under protest, but two, I do not abide. And all that stuff. You're such pests.
Oh, my God. I love it.
I got to make you a copy of that. Yeah.
Orson Welles. We all know who he was from. The Ernest and Julio Gallo.
I'd love to have a bunch of those. You know, the great one of those. He did hundreds of those. Parmesan will serve no wine before it's time.
Yeah, that's right. Remember, he was a big guy by that time.
And finally, he'd done hundreds of these, and at some point they wrote some copy where he's supposed to say, just as Stradivarius, you know, and he says, wait a minute, I don't mind selling some wine, but I'm not going to compare it to a Stradivarius.
Here we go, John. This is for you. Here we go. Let's all listen.
Do you want to go through everything and then come back?
No, tell me. I usually prefer to, but tell me what's wrong.
All right, I just think the very opening could be a little...
Nothing is more important than the simple act of people getting together.
Good. Could I have one more go, Wilson, please? Sorry.
What?
Could I have just one more take of that?
Sir? Why? I just did it right.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not used to having more than one person in there. One more word out of you and you go. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
I take directions from one person under protest. But from two, I don't sit still. But who the hell are you, anyway?
No,
Well, why the hell are you asking me for another one?
Well, I thought there was a slight bonk, and I would like just like to be saved.
Jesus. What is a gonk? You mind telling me what that is?
A bang from outside.
A bang from outside.
Oh, my God.
Can I see Mrs. Rogers for a minute, please?
Yes, certainly.
We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire.
And by the way, this is a commercial for frozen peas.
Yeah, and the other one was frozen fish sticks.
Oh, just, I love that he just silence.
You know what he's, he needs the money because he's working on Othello or something, or Don Quixote. He always puts the money from these commercials into this next movie project. It takes him like 10 years to get enough to do it independently. And you know he just hates it. He's doing selling, bad wine and fish sticks and frozen peas. But it's like he's just not going to take crap. You know, I'll do it. I know you want my voice, but I'm not going to take a bunch of crap from you guys. And then
we're talking about him growing, and she's picked him.
Yeah.
On what?
In July.
I don't understand you, then. What must be over for July?
When we get out of that snowy field.
When I was out, we were onto a can of peas, a big dish of peas, when I said in July.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, always. I'm always past that.
You are?
Yes. Well, that's about where I say in July.
You emphasize a bit in.
How do you try to direct, or you're selling peas?
You can tell they can just barely do it. Like, yes, sir. Okay. Who is that?
Just give him the script.
The man directed Citizen Kane.
I know. Citizen Kane, Shakespeare, War of the Worlds, and you're like, you're going to tell him how to say peas.
By the way, there is a...
Excuse me.
There is a document, American Experience, War of the Worlds on Netflix right now. But it's weird.
I've seen it, and I didn't... It was kind of... Yeah, you're right. It's kind of odd.
You know why? Because they used fake actors.
Yeah, it's all recreations. I was really looking forward to that. It came on last year.
Mm-hmm.
I was really looking forward to it. And because American Experience always does a good job, they were really heavy on the reimaginings, the restaging. They're trying to show you what it was like in the room when they did it, and recreations. I just thought it kind of took the punch out of it.
Yeah.
I would have preferred just the way they usually go about it, you know.
By the way, is anybody watching anything on Netflix?
No.
No.
Watch Mifune, The Last Samurai. It is a documentary about Toshiro Mifune.
Really?
Hmm.
Oh, you finished Five Came Back, right?
Yes, I finally finished it. That was great.
Pretty good, huh?
Great. Yeah, Watch it.
Crazy.
John, I want you to 6 Degrees, Kevin Bacon, Orson Welles to Toshiro Mifune.
Jesus. I used to be really good at that game. I could do just about anybody.
Let's see if we could do it. You know why? We got 1941. He's in there
with. That's it. That's how you do it.
So,
there's always a key movie where you go, okay, here's how you get him in.
Who did Orson Welles act with that was in 1941? John Candy. Oh, no, he wasn't.
He was Orson Welles.
John Candy.
It's been a long time since I've done that. So it's six. Let's see. I got to do it in 6 movies.
We got to get it in 6 movies. Christopher Lee was in. But I don't think he was ever in a movie with Orson Welles.
Let's see. Okay.
Go, John.
Okay, so let's
see. Go, Johnny. Go, go, go.
Okay, Orson Welles is in Citizen Kane with Joseph Cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Cotton is in The Abominable Dr. Fibes with Vincent Price.
That's two.
Vincent Price is in The House of Dark Shadows with Peter Cushing.
That's three.
Peter Cushing is in everything with Christopher Lee.
You did it, John.
Christopher Lee is with Toshiro Mifune in 1941.
Dang.
Okay, I can still do it. You know, I used to do that all the time. My buddy Alex and I, we would do it all the time.
You did it.
Chris Pratt to Gina Lola Brigida. Go.
How about Gina Lola Brigida to Chris Pratt? Yeah, that's
all right,
tough.
Go, John. I'm kidding. I just picked two names out of the ether.
Yeah, that might be impossible.
Negative.
Yeah.
It's always possible.
Well, you know, we did. God, the toughest one was we did somebody like.
Surely, when you disprove the impossible.
Sarah Bernhardt. We somehow got Sarah Bernhardt.
Sandra Bernhardt?
No, Sarah Bernhardt.
From the 20s?
From 1901 or something. We got her. Somehow, I think we got her to Kevin Bacon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
There's a couple key movies that help. Movies with large casts and movies with large casts with older actors and younger actors, like JFK. You got a lot of people in it.
Cannonball Run.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
Poseidon Adventure, Airport. You've got movies where it's a large cast and you've got young actors and very old actors. That's how you do it.
Speaking of Poseidon Adventure, I know you haven't watched any more Mystery Science Theater, but one of my favorite riffs of all this season was in the movie Avalanche. About 15 minutes in, one of them goes, Hackman was halfway through the Poseidon by this point.
Yeah. That's right.
Love it. By the way, they are doing a live Mystery Science Theater at the Ace Theater in L.A.
You going to be there?
I've already got my tickets because the Kickstarter backers got early advanced tickets.
What's the movie?
They're doing one called Iga, which was a caveman movie with Richard Kiel.
Yeah.
And who you know as Jaws from James Bond, speaking of...
Iga. That's so great.
And then they're doing a second feature that they're not revealing. It's going to be a mystery one, but they're going to have... Jonah Ray will be there, and the two gentlemen who are voicing Crow and Tom. They're going to do it live with the puppets.
Is Patton Oswalt going to be there?
I don't think so, but Joel will be emceeing. Joel Hodgson, the host, will be emceeing. It'll be at the Ace Theater, so those go on sale next week. By the time this goes up. Patrick's been very quiet today. I don't understand. He's on his phone.
He's been very peaceful.
Sorry.
They should do a double feature, Iga and Trog.
What is Trog?
Trog is Joan Crawford's last movie, where it's like 1970. It's a really bad one where they find a caveman somewhere, and she's trying to...
Like Troglodyte.
Yeah, and it's her last movie.
Who are you calling Troglodyte?
1970, and it's so bad, I think she had to do some heavy drinking to get through it.
Dang.
And it's a guy in a mask, but it's basically like a caveman, and she's trying to communicate with it. And it just... that always turns up
You know who else is in there? Michael Goff, who played... Alfred in the Tim Burton Batman movies.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys who's in a lot of bad movies and a lot of good movies. You know, he's got the chops. He can do Shakespeare, but he turns up in a lot of dopey stuff like Conga, which was like a British version of King Kong, where King Kong has got his hand around around Big Ben. You know?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it's a guy in a suit, obviously. It's just a bad British giant ape movie. So he turns up in stuff like that, and then he'll turn up in something wonderful. I mean, he was great as Alfred in all those Batman movies. You know,
wow,
there's a long tradition of those guys.
I just did.
I just
said my Owen Wilson. Wow. Good old Joan Crawford, huh? Did you watch any of The Feud, John?
I didn't.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, my brother's got it all on disc. He's got all 8 episodes on disc.
It's about Joan Crawford and Betty Davis, who were best friends.
And geez, you got Susan.
Just kidding.
You got Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange. You couldn't, you know. And also some really great Kathy Bates playing Joan Blondell, Stanley Tucci playing Jack Warner. And somebody's doing a great job playing Victor Buono.
All of a sudden, they're doing all of these really like the whole whatchamacallit, the. Was that my brother-in-law out there? Nope, it's not. It looked like him though. They did the People versus O.J. Simpson. They got this all-star cast to do this TV movie.
I think it's the same producer.
Yeah,
I think it's the same guy. Yeah.
Let's start doing that all-star movies.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
No.
Why not?
No. I love that. No.
No. Well, the TV movies aren't what they used to be. When John and I were younger, TV movies were
like Killdozer.
Back in that day, them TV movies.
What is the greatest TV movie of all time, John?
Duel.
Yes.
I thought it was the salt thing.
What is the salt thing?
Where have all the people gone?
There it is.
We talked about that on the podcast.
Where have all the people gone? That's right.
It was a movie that I could not, for years, eluded me, but I remembered it.
She got turned to salt.
And she got turned to salt. And we solved that on this.
Doesn't eat anything.
Did she get assaulted?
And then they ran around the tree and turned to butter.
For shame.
Two peanuts are walking down a dark alley. One was assaulted. Peanuts. Hello.
That joke was nutty.
Hey.
But I think I've become a shell of my former self.
Oh snap.
Shoot are we me. Jamming up the show?
Let me ask you a question.
He's going to say, let me ask you a question. Can you stop?
Before we went down the rabbit hole, I was going to ask you guys, what are some of your favorite soundtracks?
That's where we're
going to enjoy.
That's where we were going before.
John,
massive
do you have any – I know what you're going to say, John. I already know.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. You're going to say diner?
You got me all figured out.
You're going to say diner? You're going to say American Graffiti?
For those kind of soundtracks, sure.
Yeah, what's your favorite soundtrack? There used to be a time where a soundtrack...
Like a symphonic soundtrack.
No. I'm talking about soundtracks that have songs already on them. Like, not a score.
Well, that starts with American Graffiti, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody had really done that before American Graffiti. And as a consequently, they didn't know what to charge. You know, now they know. They go, oh, no, you got to pay. Like, Dazed and Confused. It's like, you're going to pay up. You want those golden oldies, you're going to pay up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you heard the story, right? Richard Linklater, they wanted the song Dazed and Confused for the movie from Led Zeppelin, and it was going to cost the entire budget of the soundtrack.
Wow.
So they said, well, we can have 12 great tracks, or we can have one Led Zeppelin track. So they said, nah, screw it. He says, we'll do Sweet Emotion from Aerosmith. It'll work just as well. So
How much did they want for?
I don't know, but it was going to take up the entire budget. So he said, well, it's better to have 12 solid songs than one song, you know? So.
Wow.
But for like, so you're saying that kind of soundtrack?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
what's your favorite set? What do you got, Patrick?
I don't have like a full soundtrack. It's always like individual songs from soundtracks. Mm-hmm. So obviously Disney ones stand out. There's a bunch of them out there, but you know. But there's a couple songs like from Drive, Whatever Lola Wants.
Oh yeah,
that's a really good song. Mm-hmm. That stands out to me.
That was a good soundtrack. Yeah,
It was a good soundtrack.
It was an odd soundtrack. Yeah,
it was different, but that song in particular stands out to me. And so it's just like sometimes certain songs stand out for me versus a whole CD. Although like Guardians of the Galaxy's both soundtracks I really enjoyed. So I bought both of those.
How about Apocalypse Now? That's a great soundtrack.
Yeah, those are
every song is dead on, you know.
Because you got I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
You got The End by The Doors.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That, is that winning? Would you put that up there in the pantheon?
Yeah, for sure. You know, you're right. I'm predictable. Paper Moon is a spotless.
That's a great soundtrack.
That's a flawless soundtrack because he nails the time period and every song works very well for what he's trying to set the scene. And a lot of times it's just coming out of the radio, you know, it's coming out of the radio in the room or something.
I do have one, which it was actually a lot of original songs, surprisingly, but it was Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh, yeah.
That soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Enjoyed. Where they're kind of doing like all the New York folk.
That's a wonderful
And it's
soundtrack.
An underrated movie, but it's
yeah, you're good. Right. For the Coen brothers, they don't talk about it much, but that was like
the soundtrack was great.
Yeah.
So I listen to that every once in a while.
I know Jake's got some. Got some. He's thinking over there. What do you got, Jake?
I'm trying to think. I would probably say it's like a three-way tie between the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah,
I love the Lord of the Rings
again.
Soundtracks.
A score.
Those are scores.
Scores.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's leaning toward soundtrack. He's leaning towards where they use songs.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is a bunch of songs.
It has to have lyrics.
What about Purple Rain, guys?
Purple Rain is good.
What about Purple Rain?
I liked Ferris Bueller's
Day. Now, you know that they're going to re-release that.
Yeah.
With a couple bonus discs.
Yes.
So for Fanatics, there's going to be about 12 songs that nobody's ever heard from that era.
Really?
Out of the vaults, yeah. For Prince Fanatics, they're going to dig out some stuff that's been deep in the vaults. That he recorded like enough for like three albums worth for Purple Rain, and out of like, you know, like 100 songs, he got it down to like
down a bunch.
12 songs, you know.
What about Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
That's a really good soundtrack. Wow, that's a really good one. That's like a three-disc set, and like every track is wonderful, yeah.
I go American Graffiti's up there. Guardians of the Galaxy, again, we talked about that one.
Is that what's your all-time?
Oh,
all-time.
Maybe Pulp Fiction.
Ooh.
Pulp Fiction's got a great one.
Reservoir Dogs.
Because Quentin Tarantino kind of started that whole he kind of revitalized the soundtrack.
And you know, he's playing as he's writing the script, he's playing songs.
Life Aquatic
on his stereo
with Steve Zissou.
Yep.
The
Rushmore's got a great soundtrack.
With, what's his face? I'm trying to remember the singer's name, but
doing Bowie in
Portuguese. Seu Jorge.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bowie in Portuguese. Those are fantastic.
That really worked.
Yeah.
Hey John, what about the Blues Brothers, man?
Well, yeah, God. I mean, look who's in that.
Night at the Roxbury?
Holy shit.
You know what else had a great soundtrack was Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
true.
A good one.
And boy, and you know what? That's funny. That was a real hit soundtrack.
Another Coen Brothers.
Yeah. Coen Brothers have some good soundtracks.
That was a hit soundtrack, and who would have guessed? Because it's really odd stuff. It's folk and country from the 20s, you know?
It's a good movie.
Disney is kind of its own thing.
Yeah, but I would kind of categorize that
but
separate.
Because those are almost like Broadway musicals. But I'd say my favorite Disney soundtrack is probably Jungle Book. Because it has the most songs that you can.
Got King Lee.
Yeah.
Louis Prima.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Harris.
Again, it's the same thing for me. It's like songs here and there that stick out to
me. Moana had a great... I love the soundtrack to Moana. Check that out.
If you're a 13-year-old girl, it was Let It Go.
It was Frozen, yeah.
Froyo'd.
Yeah. Froyo.
What was it? Frugo's?
Frugo.
But like Lion King, that's a great soundtrack. Mm-hmm. You got... Aladdin.
How about we do a movie called The Lion Kinks?
Lion Kinks?
And it's The Lion King, but it's set to all kinds of like kinks. It's The Lion King, but set to the kinks.
You know what they should do that for the live-action Lion King?
Yeah. It's all kinks. We go Wes Anderson with it.
God save
How about we get Wes Anderson to direct the live-action Lion King? That'd be awesome.
I still want Donald Glover to star as Simba.
With all kinks.
Somebody is doing a live-action Lion King.
Donald Glover is going to be Simba.
Is that right?
Yeah. And
he's going to do great.
Is he going to do it as...
I don't know.
As Childish Gambino?
I would love that.
Are they doing... is James Earl Jones going to do...
If he is...
I think somebody said he might be doing it.
What about Saturday Night Fever? That's a great soundtrack. Shit. If you like disco...
I can't just... Yeah.
You can't look past Saturday Night Fever. Night Fever is a great song. I'm not a... Come on, guys. You don't think Night Fever is a great song?
If Justine was here, she'd probably say Grease or something like that.
Oh, Grease is actually a pretty good soundtrack.
West Side Story.
I'm not big on West Side Story. Stick to your own genre, Leonard Bernstein.
Damn. That's a lot of shit.
Let the jazz musicians write the jazz.
But she'd probably go for like Little Mermaid or something like that.
Da-da-da-da. There you go.
Or Beauty and the Beast soundtrack. Yeah. Even my mother didn't like it. And she likes everything.
High five to your mom.
La La Land. Oh. She loves everything, and she didn't like La La Land. It was like, hey, cool.
It was okay.
That's what she said.
People
are
allowed to have their opinions. That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, of course.
And then we hate on them.
Yeah. You're allowed to have a wrong opinion of La La Land.
There we go. That's our show, folks.
That puts me in a...
You hear that song when you're walking down the street by yourself, you get that hitch in your step.
You can tell by the way I use my walk.
You have to have a paint can. I love the fact he's got a can of paint in himself.
That is such a, you know, John, you and I don't think of it, but we love those New York movies in the 70s.
Yeah.
And you got to put that one in there. You have to put it because it's shot in.
There's a way that you think, for us, there's a way you think of New York. And it's because of Serpico, the taking of Pelham.
Yeah.
It's just this, you know, the
Day Afternoon. Yeah, like, it's all those 70s movies.
That you think of. Anything by Sidney Lumet, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back. We really don't have anything planned.
As always, we fly by the cuff of our pants.
You know what it's time for? It's time for a Trump dump, because we waited 2 weeks, and now he's going. He got in some trouble.
The devil, you say.
When is he not in trouble?
Jeez, when are we not in trouble? We'll be right back.
Some people just like to watch the world burn.
There you go.
That's it. And some people are just Cheetos. All right, we'll be right back.
We should find that sound bite where he says, you know, when he's
Mr. Wayne, he's some describing. People just like to watch the world.
Who says that?
That's Michael Caine.
Sean Connery says that?
He does now.
Michael Caine. That's a great little 2-minute bit where he says you can't reason with them, you can't buy them off, they just want to watch the world burn.
We sit on their coast and listen to their rock and roll.
What's that from?
We will conduct missile drills. That's from Hunt for Red October.
Well, that's a great movie.
That's got to be one of Trump's favorites. All right, we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's time for the second half of The Superiority Complex. Welcome back. We had a lovely break. We talked about Akira Kurosawa. I said that wrong. Akira Kurosawa.
There we go.
Watch Toshiro. Watch Mifune, please. The Last Samurai. What's your favorite samurai movie, John? What's your favorite Kurosawa movie?
I haven't seen many, to my shame. I liked Ron. I loved Ron.
Ron is great.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece. But I got to say, there's a lot of the really big ones I haven't seen. So.
Which ones haven't you seen?
Like, most of them.
Give me one.
I haven't seen The Seven Samurai, so I need to see that.
Oh, you've never seen it?
You've never seen it?
I haven't seen it either.
It's honestly, it's on...
It was on Hulu for a long time.
But they took it off because Hulu went to the... Not Hulu, Dark Side. But Criterion went over to they have their own subscription service with Turner Classic.
Oh, that's right, Cinema.
I forgot what it's called.
Film,
but
film something or other.
But boy, I was watching it. I'm watching because I have it on Blu-ray. I was watching it today. I've been watching that and Unforgiven in pieces. Because Unforgiven is on Amazon right now. But boy, I was watching just the some of the most beautiful composition I've ever seen in movies is in Seven Samurai. Just the way some of the shots are staged, and you know, it's black and white, and it's before widescreen. It's still, you know, basically a square picture
in the 4x9.
But it's still amazing just the way he composes a lot of the shots, and it's a lot of it looks almost like a play, but it's also very cinematic. And it's there's a scene in the beginning where three of the main samurai come together, and it's done in such an organic way that, you know, I was thinking of movies like Suicide Squad, where they go out of their way to give everybody like a big moment.
Real stagey, yeah.
And you've seen Seven Samurai, Patrick, mm-hmm. So it's the scene in the beginning where the guy who eventually becomes the samurai leader is trying to get the baby out of the barn because a thief is running there and he's holding this baby captive. And these farmers who are down to try to hire the samurai they're off doing their own thing, and all of a sudden the situation breaks out, and it's very organic the way it happens. It's just they're kind of bystanders to the whole thing, and then next thing you know, there's like two or three of the main characters are all of a sudden in the shot, and they all kind of get a little moment, and you're kind of introducing them one by one without having to give them this backstory.
That takes some talent.
Yeah,
it's too easy to just go, here's so and so, bum bum bum. You know, and it's just like.
And you start seeing, and you start seeing his, you see their characters start to come out very, very, you know, all done with different gestures, and it's great. It's a great movie. I'll lend it to you when I'm done. I'm going to be greedy because I want to finish watching it. But
it's one of those ones where I've been waiting for it to come to the Egyptians. Sometimes they team it up with Hidden Fortress.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
And I'm always glad when I wait, like Bridge on the River Kwai. I waited and waited, and they finally played it at a festival at the Egyptian. I thought, oh yeah, I'm so glad I waited and got this on a big screen.
Yeah, I love it. I finally got to see, I haven't seen any Samurai or Toshiro Mifune movies or Kurosawa movies in the theater, but
every once in a while they'll do like a week's worth, you know?
When we went to see the Jackie Chan movie Miracles, I had seen it already, but I was glad I got to see it on the big screen.
Is that the one we saw together?
Yeah, that was the one that was based on a Capra movie, of all things.
It was set in the 40s, right?
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, it was a really good one. That
and
was
you
based
got to
on,
ask him a question. You got to ask Jackie Chan
It was based on Pocketful of Miracles. You know, I will tell you what. Getting to ask Jackie Chan a question, because Jackie Chan is obviously one of my heroes. That was not as – I was thinking about this morning, actually. One of my favorite moments of meeting somebody who I would have to say is one of my heroes was not meeting because it was one-sided, but having Ray Davies sign my album. Because we were waiting outside of the – I was waiting outside of the Canyon Club with a friend of the show, Pat Francis, and I have two LPs, and there's about 10 people waiting outside, and here comes Ray Davies after he's done the show, and he's got like he almost glides because he's very thin. You know, he's not very tall, but he's very thin. But he looked a lot bigger because he had like this overcoat with the collar like popped up, and he just came like gliding over to us. And then he just kind of looked at everybody's albums. He didn't really look anybody in the eye. He's like, the first thing words out of his mouth, "Oh, good evening, hello." And then everybody's like going, "Great show, Ray. Yeah, great show." And I had I had face to face and kind of kinks. And I remember he stopped at kind of Kinks, and he's like, "Oh, who are these handsome lads?" And he's and just sort of, and then on the bus and off into the night, and it was just.
And he signed face to face for you.
Yeah, he did. He signed both. He signed kind of Kinks and face to face, so I have them both.
We both have face to face signs.
Yeah, it was great because it was just funny because he just comes out and he didn't say really anything, but he was still nice about it and very like,
yeah.
But everything you wanted Ray Davies to be, you know, it's like, you know, that rock star still. Yeah. And very kind of aloof, but also very like, "Oh, hello, yes, good evening, yes." And, you know, but it was just funny because it goes, "Oh, who are these lovely lads?" And then just goes on down the line. Just, it was the best. It was like everything I wanted meeting Ray Davies to be, you know. No time, nobody asked him a question, so he didn't have time to be an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't, I'm sure he would have been.
Well, who knows? When I met him, on the way in, they had handlers saying, "Don't shake, don't try to shake his hand. Don't give him more than one thing." Blah 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 blah. And I had seen him the night before, and it was like a one man show. And I just thought, I gotta shake his hand. What the hell? And he wasn't like, "Oh no, don't touch me." He was just like, "Oh." I said, "Hey, great show last night." He said, "Oh, cheers."
Perfect.
I said, "Oh, thanks for doing Village Green. So great." And he's like, "Oh, cheers."
There you go. That's something you just gotta say. Have you ever met your hero? Aside from every week when you come into the studio?
Not yet.
Who is your hero?
I don't know.
Who is the one person you want to meet?
I really don't have anybody like I'm dying to meet.
That's healthy.
Jake?
Yes.
Most who's the one person?
Probably Danny Elfman.
Oh,
Danny Elfman. It's always Danny Elfman with him.
I love Danny Elfman, okay?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So so when you meet your hero, the second thing is that you hope that they won't be an asshole.
You know? You got goals. You got goals.
I know Danny Elfman's not an asshole. So I'll be happy. Yeah. At least surprised.
Oingo Boingo.
That's just a general thing they say. If you meet your heroes, you know.
Just pray he's not an asshole.
Yeah. Because then the
illusion's gone.
Yeah. Well, it's like our friend Phil, like early on in the podcast, my friend Phil came on and told the story about meeting Matt Groening, waiting like 3 hours in line to meet Matt Groening at like Comic-Con, and didn't have anything, you know, spent all his money to get into Comic-Con. So he just had a piece of paper, and Matt Groening was like, "Really, man? Come on, you couldn't buy anything?"
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And he is the biggest Simpsons fan I've ever met.
And God, all the money he's got, what does it matter to
him? And Kurosawa was just like, "Oh, really? You couldn't buy anything, huh?" Or not Kurosawa, what did I just say? Matt Groening was just like, "Yeah, come on, you couldn't buy anything?"
That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, see, that bummed me out. Yeah. But I've heard stories of people who met him and say he's great.
Huh. So you never know. It just depends when you meet him.
It's like when we met Tony Curtis and he didn't want to take the picture because he was flirting with us co-eds from UCLA. I have the picture to this day. Tony Curtis does not look happy to be taking a photo with me, but you know what? I took a picture of Tony Curtis before he died.
Right before he died.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a great night. That was sweet smell of success, right?
That's right.
And yeah, we got some questions in.
Yeah.
Was it you or me?
I asked him. I said, "What did Cary Grant think of your impersonation of him in Something Like It Hot?" Loved it. Loved it.
He's like, "Well, gotta go."
Yeah.
He's like, "Out the door.
Gotta go. There's some girls from UCLA here."
And then, he got up with his wife, and it was like she's like 18 or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, she didn't.
She got confused every day. What's wrong?
Bow, down, ba-doo, ba-doo,
hey, drinks ba-doo, with Bill Cobbs.
Who's Bill Cobbs?
African American actor. He's been in a world of things.
Bill Cobbs.
Yeah, look him up. Bill Cobbs. I walked into an El Torito by my old house, and he was just sitting there at the
bar. Oh, I know exactly who this gentleman is.
Yeah, he's super nice guy.
Once you see his face, you will know everything. You're like, "I've seen him in everything."
What's his name again?
Bill Cobbs.
Bill Cobbs.
Super nice guy. Nicest guy in the world. We just sat at the bar, and we just ate chips and talked with him. That was it.
What did he say?
I think there was a Laker game on. He was talking about the Lakers, and he was asking what we do. I was sitting there with my roommate at the time.
Right. He is from...
He's a nice guy.
You will know him from... I will give you a bunch of roles.
He's been in a lot
He's been
stuff.
In everything.
He's like the guy you see in everything.
Show
John.
Show John.
Oh, this guy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I know him from? Coen Brothers movie. He plays the janitor in The Hudsucker Proxy.
That's right.
And he narrates it, I believe.
Yeah.
That's what I know him from.
Yeah, that's right.
God, that's a great movie.
Very distinctive face.
God,
but like you see him everywhere. He's super nice
guy.
That's
true.
Nicest guy in the world. And apparently he goes there all the time because all the bartenders knew him. He was just really cool. He was a good guy.
Maybe he's not in Hudsucker Proxy.
I think he's the janitor, isn't he?
He was in The Bodyguard.
Oh, he was in The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 as Man on Platform. And I think I know which guy it is.
The 70s?
Yeah. Because he's kind of dressed like – he's got like a – I think he's supposed to be a
– He's also an Air Bud.
He's been in everything though. Like,
yeah,
you
he
really
is.
Think about it?
He's Moses in The Hudsucker Proxy. That's okay. It. Yep. Yep, yeah. Yep.
He was a cool guy.
Oh, that's awesome. See, I would want to – those are the guys I want to meet, the character actors.
Yeah.
I like
– It was cool because it was like – it's just one of those moments where you just walk in, you sit down, and then you look to your left and you're like – oh, shit, I know you.
I met the guy. Okay, no one's going to know who he is.
It's like when I met Steve Perry. Same thing.
Oh, you met Steve Perry?
Yeah, I met him at the Whiskey A Go-Go. My friends were playing a concert. And we walk in, And he's sitting across the room, and they're about to go up on stage. And I turn and I say to him, I said, I think that's Steve Perry from Journey. And like, no, it's not Steve Perry from Journey. I'm like, no, he's same exact haircut. It has not changed. You know, it's super like flat pressed, long hair, just like sharp bangs and everything like that. And I look at him, I'm like, I think that's Steve Perry. So I walked up and I said, hi. I said, you know, my friends are about to play, but you're Steve Perry, right, from Journey? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, dude, it's a pleasure to meet you. You are fantastic. Thank you so much. He was super nice. Nicest guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who I met, speaking of character actors, John, you'll know this.
Yes.
He was on he's recently on a show called The Closer with Kira Sedgwick. He plays like the captain or whatever. And now he's, on Major Crimes, which is like the sequel. But we know him from Sergeant Rizzo on MASH. It was G.W. Bailey.
Oh, that guy. Police Academy.
Police in all Police Academy movies.
Rizzo.
And I said, I met him somewhere, and he was very nice. And I said, I hope you don't mind me. But I said, but I loved you on MASH, Sergeant Rizzo. And he said, nobody ever remembers that I was on MASH. He was like, God bless you.
Nice.
That's my proudest work. He's like, God bless you.
Yeah, he's on like the last two seasons.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. God bless. He goes, I love that show. I love being on that show. He's like, and nobody ever remembers it. He goes, everybody remembers Police Academy. Nobody remembers I was on MASH.
Wasn't he the like supply sergeant in MASH?
Yeah.
And he had some run-ins with Winchester
and Klinger.
And he was funny.
But since it's the last couple seasons, so people don't think of him as part of the group.
Yeah.
They don't think like, oh yeah, Radar and Charles and Rizzo.
Yeah, he would say Hep. I need Hep. I help you.
That was his whole thing. He was from the South.
Yeah, he was funny. Good stuff.
He'd have a cigar in his mouth.
He was the nicest man, but that's just very...
It's always good when the celebrities are
nice. And it's always nice when you feel like, oh, I've kind of like, I wasn't a jerk or I've, you know, because I'm sure people are just rude as...
And it was too because I think the only times I've ever actually like met somebody like that has all been like just chance, which is really cool. That's the best part. It's not like I went out to go meet somebody. Right.
Welcome to California.
It's just I ran into him and I was like, hey, this is cool.
Who was it? Was it one of you that was telling me? Or did I hear it on a podcast maybe? Where somebody said they pumped gas next to Mark Hamill.
What the fuck?
They were like in Santa Monica. They pumped gas next to Mark Hamill. And they keep like looking around the pump. And then as he's leaving, he goes, that's right. You pumped gas next to Mark Hamill. I was like, oh my God. That makes me want to love Mark Hamill.
That's funny.
That makes me love
so much
Mark
better.
Hamill even more. Because he wasn't a jerk about it.
And he's the type of guy that would do that, too. Yeah, like, he's the type like, would be like, yeah.
That's right. You pumped gas next to Mark Hamill. That is the best. Thank you. That's I love wonderful. It.
That's great.
Mark Hamill, big Kinks fan, apparently.
Is that right?
And friend of the show, believe
Where'd you
it
hear
not.
That?
He listens.
I hope so.
Where did you hear that?
When Pat Francis and I went to see Dave Davies at the Whiskey, he tweeted the next day about being at the show. We were like, and the Whiskey's so tiny. We're like, how did we not run into?
You have to run into somebody.
We saw the drummer from Blondie. We saw a bunch of other people there, but we did not see.
You recognized Clem Burke.
Pat Francis did.
Oh, okay.
Pat Francis did.
You know, there is that balcony with the glass. He was probably.
Oh yeah, probably up there with the not amongst the.
Steve Perry wasn't. He was on the floor.
Out on the floor, and Dave was great.
What year was that you saw? Dave?
2 years ago.
Okay.
2 years ago, maybe.
Because I just found a record.
Because I think it was right after.
He came back after the stroke. Right?
Well, I think he it was right after they released Star Wars, the Force Awakens.
Oh, wow.
So Mark Hamill was like big. He was back in the news again, you know. Yeah. So. But he put it out on Twitter that he's like, oh, I saw Dave Davies last night. Yeah. And we're like, how did we miss that?
Wow.
Where was he? At the Whiskey.
Christopher Lloyd.
Where did you meet Christopher Lloyd?
I didn't get the chance to personally meet him, but he used to – where I grew up in Sonoma in the wine country. It's a really popular tourist area.
Pardon us for being from the lowlands.
It's what popular?
It's a popular tourist area.
Okay.
And he used to come to town all the time, and he'd eat at my friend's family's restaurant. And so he was just like super friendly, Christopher Lloyd. He's happy-go-lucky guy.
Nice.
He'd stop to take pictures, and he was just really nice. But he used to come to town all the time. It was really cool. I have met John Lasseter. That's the other one I have met.
Yeah,
my mom was really involved in the community up there, and they did a lot of fundraisers and stuff like that. And again, nice.
That is rad.
He went to Whittier High.
Yeah. He used to do private screenings for the town when new movies came out. It was really cool.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
And he was a super nice guy.
Yeah, I met
I would
him.
Assume
he played Dumbo up at UCLA. Mm-hmm. It was part of a series where directors played their favorite film. So he played Dumbo. And then afterward, I asked him if he remembered visiting the art
class. He used to drive an old Volkswagen Bug around town
that's
painted to look like Toy Story.
No kidding.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he was a cool guy.
That's cool. So he would run the Pixar stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
You used to go see him at Sebastiani Theater. It's just like a little old theater.
Yeah.
Jake, you're suspiciously quiet over there.
Have you met anybody?
Oh, no, I haven't. Oh. That's why I'm not saying anything. I haven't met
anybody. This is where you pipe in and go, I used to drink with Sean Connery.
Yeah.
He's a real nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I told myself.
Yeah. A sexy open-handed schlock.
Once so a while, they need a slap.
John meets everybody. John runs into people. But you go to places where famous
people... It's always just weird stuff. Like, you know, you're like in an elevator. Like, Leonard Nimoy. I was in an elevator at UCLA and Leonard Nimoy...
What?
Yeah, I told you about that.
No, you did not!
Oh, what? You met Leonard Nimoy?
I took someone to see Waiting for Godot at UCLA. And on the way there, we were in an elevator... And an older couple got in with us, and I turned to the girl I brought, and I said, I think that's Leonard Nimoy. And I didn't want to be a dick, and I'd say, hey, are you Leonard Nimoy? So I just kind of like just quiet about it. But it was just the four of us in the elevator. And she goes, that's not him. I go, no, really, it's him. You know, he's older, but that's him. And she goes, I don't think it's him. And so before the elevator opened, he said something to his wife, and it was unmistakably
it's his wife.
Unmistakably like Spock's voice just coming out of his head. And she goes, all right. So we get to the theater, and they were sitting one row behind us. Somehow we had better seats. They were one row behind us, and we could hear him.
Should have turned and been like, Mr. Nimoy, would you like my seats?
Wow.
And I was like, boy, that's the weirdest thing. You know, yeah, it's just one of those things. You're just out, and there they are, you know.
Just let in Nimoy. Yeah.
And whole time, John's in the elevator thinking, don't fart, don't fart.
Yeah,
don't fart.
Well, what I'm thinking is, don't be a dick and turn around and go, oh, you know, it's so great. I just thought, nah, just leave him alone.
You didn't turn around and go.
Yeah, exactly. He gets enough of that. So I thought, you know, it's just leave him alone.
May the force be with you, Spock.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
I know. His worst nightmare, because we're in an elevator. You know, his worst nightmare is I hit the stop button between floors and go, I've always wanted to ask you, you know, in episode 27, you know, when you're talking about the Romulans.
You said the tachyon beams would take care of the problem, but it didn't seem to take care of the problem.
Let me out of here. Get me out of here.
Then he gets all Spock's brain on you. Goes crazy.
What would have been great is if I had said, man, you were so great as Paris in Mission Impossible.
Yes.
And he would have been all, huh? Oh, yeah, I was on Mission Impossible.
That's right. That is right.
Really great. Just throw something out. You don't even care that he was Spock. You know?
Yeah, I loved you.
You were in Star Trek?
I loved you.
I didn't know you were in Star Trek.
I loved you as the radio operator in Them. That's what I would have said.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy Moses.
You're welcome. That's
crazy. It's so weird how many people are in Them, just barely. You know, Fess Parker and, you know, just people that are just barely in it. James Arness has got a pretty big part in that.
That's right.
But, as a matter of fact, that's where Disney caught Fess Parker and thought, hey, that's who I need for Davy Crockett.
I just got a picture sent from
him. Are those the bonuses?
No, look at what he's reading. Look at what he's listening to.
Yeah, it looks like they're bonus discs. It looks like there's two discs in there. Those are kind of thick stars.
Oh, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, maybe.
Life goes on and on and on.
Yeah. So he made you a...
Hey, how you doing? We're talking about...
Have we ever done a show where we didn't digress... into the Kings.
By the way, live update, the Dodgers have dropped the last two to the Giants, unfortunately.
Oh, Jesus.
But they are up 3-0 right now.
It's okay.
I wish I could be watching the game, but I'm talking about Leonard Nimoy in an elevator. Kidding.
Leonard Nimoy in an elevator.
Guys, I just want you to know, this is a form of therapy for me, so I'm glad we all get together and chat. Briskly.
Well, if you want to do therapy, let's get into it.
What do you got? What do you got? What do you want to get into?
Lay it on us.
Nah, it's okay.
You okay?
You
well, Justine's on here. Are we having problems?
Don't bring it up. It's like, oh, man. Speaking of therapy.
Justine's not here
what
for
is
a reason.
It? I don't want to talk
Are
about
you
it.
Vague booking right now?
Justine's
is that what you're doing?
For
what's, why, what's wrong? What's
vague you're going to say
you
something.
Lead into something and then you just walk away from
vague
it.
Vague booking is when people will post something on Facebook that just goes... my friend of mine did this the other day, just said, why? And they wait
never
for people
respond.
To go, what's wrong? Just to get it.
To get attention.
Mm-hmm.
You should have been like, why?
Dude, I said, vague booking? I don't know. It's annoying, isn't it? That was my response.
Vague booking. That's interesting.
You're just harsh, bro.
So you gotta call it out.
A problem, you gotta say what the problem is.
You know what? I'm a big fan of how are you? Fine, thank you, and you internalize it.
That's the Irish in me. It's just you just take it and you just hold it in.
Hold it in.
Explode.
Yeah.
You push it down.
Well, then don't emphasize therapy like you're saying
he
you need to talk about something.
He brought it up.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Yeah, what's wrong, boo-boo?
People are dying.
Where?
Oh. My uncle.
Oh.
See, this is why.
What happened?
He has cancer.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it sucks.
What was his favorite song?
I don't know. He's from Tennessee.
He's still alive.
So, Tennessee Waltz?
Maybe. You never know. He likes a lot of Zane Grey books, so probably
kind of. Oh, yeah, he likes some
kind of. He's in Tennessee now.
How old is he?
80.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What kind of cancer?
Colon. Same thing my mom had.
Your mom beat it, though.
So did
Is it your mom's brother?
No, brother-in-law. He beat it, too.
But it came back.
Yep.
That's what happened to my grandpa.
Yeah. It's really shitty.
Are you all right?
Yeah, it's tough. I got a bad message today about it, but.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'll be okay.
I'm here for you.
I got to try and go visit him.
Are you really?
I have to.
When?
In the next 6 months.
Oh, he's got 6 months?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, that's the thing about having a situation. We'll get real serious right here for a minute. That's the thing about a situation where you know somebody has time like that. You can prepare yourself and say goodbye. That happened with my dad. I had time to – it was horrible to see him degenerate before my eyes, but it was also a time for every, you know, kind of bring all those things out.
Yeah.
Say the things you want to say. I don't think there's a good choice of, like, letting someone you love suffer or having them taken away from you in, like, the blink of an eye.
It's tough because, like, growing up, you know, my family, my parents were never together, so I saw my dad sporadically, and he was involved in my life as well, so he was a partial father figure, too, so it's tough. He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
I'm sorry to hear that, Patrick. We're going to pause and hug. Mm-hmm. Who do you want to hug you more, John or Jake? Because I don't touch people. Who do you want?
John.
All right, come here. John, go ahead.
It's funny. It's true because sometimes I'll give Mario a hug and he'll kind of like repel. He'll go, oh.
See, Mario says he's not about touching people, but he is very touchy-feely. He's handsy.
But I have to be initiated.
Yes, he has to be in control. It's definitely a control thing for him.
Why don't you give John, why don't you give him a hug right now?
No, it's okay. No hugs.
Give him a hug on the air.
There are times I've given Mario a hug and he's kind of like, okay, that's all right.
Thanks. Okay.
That is not true. I will embrace you openly.
Okay, let's do it.
I will.
I love that. Okay, let's do it.
Do we need a group hug on the show?
Let's do this thing.
Do we need a group hug?
We'll group hug.
Hey, you know what?
On the air.
Hugs, not drugs.
Yeah, that's my motto.
I think it's hugs and drugs.
Hugs for pugs.
I keep the temple clean. You know what I mean? To quote the great Jimmy Pardo.
They burn incense in any temple.
Incense and peppermints.
I pass on grass. John, you have another one of those cough drops?
I do. I got a whole pocket full.
Pocket full of cough drops.
I got a pocket full of cough drops.
Wow.
That was great.
That was the transition right there.
Oh, man.
Hey, I've got a hole in me pocket.
Hey, hello.
Ricola.
They're real warm and soft.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best kind.
Nice and warm.
It's like the word lozenge.
Lozenge. A moist lozenge.
Hey, you got any lozenges?
That's Martin Short doing Jerry Lewis.
Moist lozenge.
You got any moist lozenges? I don't even know what that was.
This has turned into something awful.
I know. I don't know why we spiraled again.
Well, this always happens.
We're all trying to spin out of that funky broad drug us down into.
I know. I'm sorry.
Don't make us feel emotions on this show.
I know. It's tough.
Hey, we're guys.
To be people. No, hey, Justine's more heartless than I am. And she's a girl.
She did laugh when Professor Xavier died.
She laughed.
I still can't get over that.
We're never going to get over that.
Nope.
You're the girl that laughed when Professor X died.
It's true. She's very heartless.
Why did she laugh?
She thought it was funny.
Is she familiar with the X-Men universe?
She's seen all the movies.
So she knows how heavy that is.
I just don't think she was in the moment. She isn't invested like the rest of us, so she wasn't wrapped in the moment. And so just to think that I think it was just a surprise and she just reacted.
Just the sight of someone being murdered is just absolutely hilarious.
And the way anyone's murdered.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, John.
Yes.
Early on,
yes.
We'll bring it back around to King Kong, which you spoke of in the break, and I think I brought it up on the show before. Mm.
speaking of King Kong and strange noises,
Skull Island.
Did you get that video I sent you on Facebook about that kookaburra?
Oh, I saw, but haven't watched it.
It's funny.
What you were saying?
When they were showing the original King Kong, the producers noticed a tendency when they were screening it for test audiences of people to burst out laughing after the Brontosaurus picks off the first sailor and he dies, people would burst out laughing. But it was because they didn't know what else to do.
Didn't know how to respond.
They didn't know how to respond to that. Yeah. So maybe that's a little of why she chuckled at.
She's heartless.
She's heartless.
So the two. She makes me watch like all the movies where like the dog dies.
Because you'll cry.
Yeah. She gets pleasure out of me being distressed.
That's so weird.
So the two of you, you're the one.
I'm the empathetic, nice one. She's just like, nah.
You're the Deanna Troi, and she's the Data.
Yeah, kind of.
Wow.
No emotion.
But she must have an Achilles heel. There must be something that kind of pulls her in. Like Beauty and the Beast or Little Mermaid.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think it makes her... Although, actually, when we watched the preview for Beauty and the Beast, the music started and she started crying at that.
That's when you turn around and go,
I laughed at her.
You pussy.
Like,
that's great.
It wasn't even any of the imagery. It was just the music. And she's like, I'm crying.
Yeah,
I don't
you
know
pussy.
What.
That's what I would have said. <last time.
laughs> And you turned and went, typical.
I'm usually the one in a movie who feels emotion before she does.
You know what I would do is if you guys are fighting and she's scoring points on you and you're losing, to start going, little town, it's a quiet village.
It's a tale as old as time.
Every day.
Yeah, like the guys one weep before. Weird stuff. There's that scene where Tom Hanks talks about how guys will cry, like in The Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
Pretty Lopez.
It's in Sleepless in Seattle. Yeah. Sleepless in Seattle.
That's a great scene because he really sells it. He's like,
Field of Dreams when he meets his dad.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Father and Son from Cat Stevens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That got me, too. I started tearing up.
Good times. Well, let's end on some sad daddy issues. Let's start with the P-Strain.
I have daddy issues.
P-Strains are coming. All aboard the P-Strain.
It's a wonder I'm not a stripper.
Well, if anyone, I mean, we don't have cameras in here, but if they saw you, it'd be obvious.
Yeah. That it was a terrible decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you like them doughy.
And really pale. Really pale, blindingly Jesus. Pale.
Why don't we open a strip call called Doughboys? Yes. Where it's just like average dudes, it's you know? They're just like just a dude. You know what I mean?
Just call it Doughies.
Doughboys.
Come on, Doughies.
We all come out wearing those World War One helmets. Doughies,
yeah.
And we just strip down to like regular. Yeah. And they call me guys that work at like, you know, they're like working at like a garage
that
or whatever.
It's like the Full Monty. Isn't that like, they're like regular guys?
Yeah,
just average Joes.
UPS driver, maybe, you know.
Call it average Joes.
There you go. I like Doughboys better.
Go on down to average Joes. Yeah.
Doughboys.
Where the men are your neighbors.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How about it?
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Sold. $1 million idea. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Average. Yeah, this could be your...
So capital idea.
Come on down to Doughboys.
Come on down to Doughboys and get your fill.
Get your fill. All
no,
the
it's,
guys' name are
it's
Phil.
Average Joes.
Come on down to Doughboys where we might get you there.
Yeah. We'll do in a pinch.
We'll try to get you there.
We'll do our best.
Yeah.
I'm dying as coffee.
Doughboys, we'll do our best.
We may not be the best, but we're earnest.
Yeah. I may have swallowed a xenomorph. There may be a xenomorph working its way
We try harder.
Bronchial tract.
We're number two. We try hard.
Our hearts are in the right place.
Yeah. We mean well.
Do we mean well?
What are you going to do?
We do our best. Yeah.
You've seen worse.
Yeah, right? Good stuff, guys. These are all great.
These are great taglines.
Yeah.
Doughboys.
Or just, come down to Doughboys.
Come on down to Doughboys.
It's not the worst you've seen.
Yeah. Right?
Just oh meh.
Meh.
Come on down to Doughboys. Yes, men do have hair there.
Whoa. What does that mean?
Thanks for listening.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for listening. We are...
The Superiority Complex, where we just have
talk
the complex
about average male
strippers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Who's watching
a
video right now? Somebody watching right now?
Hello. Not I.
You know, for once, nobody's looking at their phone. I'm looking around. For once, nobody's looking at their phone.
I rarely look at my phone.
You don't. You like to make eye contact with everybody and not break it throughout the show.
I know. I do.
It's creepy where he's just because I'll feel it. He'll just be.
Oh, it's my phone. That's
and you'll do this number. Here
we go. See, look, there he goes again.
My phone. I heard the video.
You got to make eye contact with someone when you're talking.
And then you turn.
You're very sensual.
And you wait till he breaks.
Look at John's not looking. And then. He's doing the Groot thing.
No, I'm just thinking, I gotta get this guy a cigar. the big old Castro cigar.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, Jake is dressed and looks exactly like Fidel Castro.
Thanks to my wife for pointing that out a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And then
Except
I walked in the door and I said the exact same thing. I said, hey, you look like Castro.
Yep.
He's got the khaki shirt on, and the beard is exactly the Fidel Castro beard.
Yeah, it is. We need to get him that hat.
Yeah.
Your hat and the mustache and the
cigar.
The cigar.
Let's, and you know that dictatorship.
Gave me a Cuban cigar. Help. Yeah.
You call
let's me
bastard.
Let's walk him down. Let's walk him down to the cigar bar there. Where is it? The what is that on Greenleaf? The
I'll put that up as my profile picture on Facebook.
What's going on with the? Listen, we took a couple weeks off from Trump dump, and the whole world has gone to hell.
I know, right?
Fires the FBI guy, says it wasn't because of the Russia investigation, or that's
healthcare.
What they say.
Russian investigation.
Then he just comes out and says, yeah, it was because of the Russia investigation.
I know.
Healthcare's gone.
Yeah. Mm.
Then he doesn't let American press in, lets Russian press in. Then it turns out, just giving away secrets. Like
and it turns out even worse, the Russians were taping. There's transcripts.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is, so what they revealed this morning, that they got that from somebody in Israel. And that's going to be one of his trips. If he's leaving on that trip Friday, after Europe, he's going to Israel.
I didn't know they had a golf course in Israel.
Chances are they're not going to let him.
No, someone brought up a good point on the forums that I was reading. They were saying what Israel has to do now is pretend like everything's hunky-dory, because if they shut him out, then that confirms that they're the ones who have a spy somewhere.
There's no way out of that. I mean, they know it's this guy. What's their secret – is it – Mossad? Or?
Yeah.
So they said, there's a guy already in danger. They said they know now. Wall Street Journal, I think, or somebody broke it.
But it's just...
Well, that's cool that Trump just... But what I love is what keeps blowing back on the Republicans is every argument they had about Hillary Clinton, Trump is doing. Like, everything, all the reasons they have for not... They were all bullshit. We all know they were bullshit. We know.
I think what's worse, too, is the fact that, you know, I think Sean Spicer said this with his – in response to him saying all these things to the Russians. He's like, well, he's a president. That's his choice. Like, what the fuck?
You don't share that kind of intel with the Russians?
It's not even that it's the Russians. It's another foreign body.
What I love is that nobody from the American press corps was invited into that room.
Yeah.
But they're taking so all those pictures say, you know, the Russian, you know, that's from TASS, you know. They were all from the Russian photographer. They
American press, not allowed in.
We weren't in. The Russians were allowed
in. So you all have been – how does that not look extremely suspicious?
And they were also saying that it would have been very easy for them to bug the White House because they've been let in. And given unprecedented access, and it would be very easy for them to just, you know, drop a recording device, something, somewhere, drop it in the couch,
anything.
Cushions of the couch, anywhere.
No one will know.
You think Trump's going to be paying attention? He's busy telling him how great he is and what a good job he's doing and just bloviating.
He's playing with his little blocks on the table.
I love that photo where they're all kind of like laughing and back slapping. It's just like, Jesus. It looks like a stage shot. Like,
how are all these conservatives who worship at the altar of Ronald Reagan, how have their heads not exploded?
I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, even to this day, you know, they say, what is it going to take? It's slowly, like McCain and some of those guys are slowly saying.
Well, they're always, the GOP is always trouble, but that's all they do. They just say we're trouble and they don't do anything about it.
I don't know. So what is too far? What does he have to do for them to finally say, okay, that's it? You know?
Start World War III.
This is pretty bad already.
I don't know what else he can do to make
it
worse.
They're starting,
besides
last
violence.
Last night they were saying this is getting pretty close. If this is obstruction of justice, then this is something they can impeach him for.
Well, it's already too late because the GOP, if they've gone this far with him, and for the sake of, you know, being able to give some rich people a tax cut,
that's
why they stick with him, because they're hoping that they'll get a few things out of this before he melts down. You know?
God, what a way to sacrifice the rest of us just so you can get your agenda across. When
party before the country.
And if anybody is going to argue differently, then you're not paying attention, and there's no reason to have a conversation.
Sacrifice the many for the benefit of
the few. Exactly. And they're selling the people out because they want to get this. They have this agenda they want to push.
In theory, it could work if it's like go get more money to the rich people and then they'll be able to create more jobs, but that's not
it never works
it's not
going
to happen. No.
Trickle down never works the way it's supposed to.
John and I are still waiting from our checks from the 80s.
They were talking about that when Reagan was in, and it never really works. Mm-hmm. They get the break. They don't really pass on the money.
No, because what did they do? What did they do last time? They closed up shop and opened up all these factories overseas.
Uh-huh.
Took all the jobs that now
it never
you know,
works.
No,
no.
I'm just excited for California to become West Canada. I think it's time.
I'm excited for California to annex itself from the nation. We've become our own country.
That's what we're saying. You want to secede? We can't secede though, because then we become like the Confederacy.
Yeah. We become like the South, and we don't want that.
That's not
going
to happen. But maybe we can put in enough protections that we can ride out the next 4 years.
Yeah, I'm not saying we have to be our own country.
We can be a Canadian territory. I'm okay with that.
You're seeing what's happening is we're trying to strengthen where we can kind of deflect all this craziness. We're trying to.
California, left and right. It's like no. We're not doing it. Yeah. Nope.
It's going to be, man, we're only like 100 days in.
It does make you feel better that you are at least in California.
Yeah.
At least.
We'll be the last to go.
One of the largest populations or populated states.
We're on the end of the Titanic. We're on the back end.
The last one when their last railing goes into the ocean.
We'll be the last one to go.
Yep. How they kept racing to the back of the boat. Yeah.
Well, all this is going to be used in evidence. So the last one in the gulag, would you guys bring the shoveling equipment, please? whichever one of us.
I think they finally got him this time. This is obstruction of justice.
Time to put your spoons away.
They had some people that were veterans of the Watergate, imbroglio, if that's a word. They had people that were around when that hit, and they said, this is getting pretty close to a smoking gun, obstruction of justice between the memo and.
Hey, gorgeous!
The Flash is here.
Oh, dude, he came out of nowhere. You see how fast he was?
Flash. How are you, Renee?
Whoa.
Stop messing with the timeline!
Just save every
Flash.
One of us.
Whoops, wrong Flash.
For those of you who don't know, Renee's here and he's wearing a Flash t-shirt.
He saved every one of us.
He took us out of our dark, dark spiral there.
We're talking about Trumpy. Well, keep going, John. I'm sorry we interrupted.
No. I mean, it's all in the front page. We'll see.
Well, now you have Comey with memos.
See, but here's the shitty part of we'll see. It's just the fact that we have to wait.
Well, you have to wait for these things to play out.
But
because you want it to be airtight. If this is obstruction of justice, you want it to stick.
Yeah, I get that. It's more upsetting the fact that we let it get here slowly.
We didn't let it get here. The goddamn Republicans.
We as a country.
I know. And that's the thing.
Free world.
And that's the scary thing. Mario and I were talking about that this morning. Is what's scary? The only thing scarier than Trump is the amount of people in this country who still think he's a good idea. There are people that kind of went out this week.
There are people still defending him.
At NPR, they went deep and they went into Trump country, the people that voted for him. And they say the people that voted for him in November have not budged an inch. They are still on board.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way, God forbid, he's in for another 4 years without being impeached, the only way this gets turned around is people that sat out the last election. There are a lot of people that voted for Obama that just sat this election out. Maybe this is too much for them. It's not too much for the people.
Now we're going to vote for anyone but Trump.
Well, I mean, Jesus. I mean, for people that said, oh, that horrible Hillary Clinton. Well, at least for people that sat out the election, maybe they think differently. But they said as far as the people that voted for Trump, they haven't budged an inch. None of this –
you know what's scary?
None of this makes a difference to them.
Scary
it doesn't matter.
Is if we impeach Trump, who do we get?
Well, you get Pence. He could be worse.
That's the other worry.
It's hard to imagine, but he could be worse.
Trump, he's insane and he's...
He's incompetent.
He's incompetent.
He's a fool.
And he's a fool, but we know that. Pence isn't.
He's a smart guy. He's conniving.
He's
a politician. He knows...
Far, far, far right.
And he knows how the system works. He's a...
Yeah.
In a way that Trump doesn't. Trump blunders around and this is why he's in this mess.
Pence like a bull in a china shop.
Yeah, exactly. And Pence knows exactly how the system works.
Which is just as scary.
But what's scary is he's a religious nut and he's a robot, you know? And so we're fucked. If he's in, yeah. So that's the thing. Who's the third one down? Who's the Ford? Who's the Gerald Ford? Is it Speaker of the House?
It's Paul Ryan, yeah.
Somebody took out Pence and Trump, it would be Paul Ryan.
And we're still.
Who's fourth down?
probably Bannon. How far that down? Shitty of a look.
How far down before you get to a Democrat? Is that what you're
saying?
How
far down before you get to Kiefer Sutherland?
Yeah. That's not even how far down till we get to a Democrat. It's how far down till we get to somebody who's at least moderate enough that we can survive.
Who has
or
the
just a decent human being?
Yeah, exactly. A decent human.
I don't.
Being.
Yeah, I don't. Democrat, Republican. You know, different views and everything's totally fine. Whatever. But I just want a decent human being. To
well,
be
that's
president.
The thing. You see all this stuff coming
like
out, and you're just hoping.
Decent human being,
you're hoping somebody will step up and say, "When is this madness going to stop?" And nobody does. Well, we have to see. We're very concerned. We're looking into it. It's like you guys are just stalling at this point because you're trying to get your agenda pushed through. Put that aside.
The only people that can step up now is Congress. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, they have to step up and go, enough is enough. This is obstruction of justice. They have to insist on an independent special investigator. It's got to happen.
Ugh.
And it gets harder and harder for them to stall and not do anything. The worse this gets, at some point they're going to have to step up and do it. There'll be no other way. You've got enough people that are screaming bloody murder.
In the words of the great warrior poet Ray Davies... Give the people what they want.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the thing. But we didn't, you know.
No.
3 million people, you know, he lost by 3 million in the popular vote. So every time I want to go, fuck the, you know, if this is what America wants, fuck him. Well,
but it
no,
wasn't. That's
it wasn't.
The point.
You know, he lost by 3 million. The popular vote, he lost by 3 million. So this really isn't what the American people wanted.
Yeah.
But with the Electoral College being as screwy as it is, this is what we got.
It's a broken system.
Well,
it's happened.
Well,
so now it's happened twice. You had
you
and
know,
Bush shouldn't have been in there, and we got Bush, and that wasn't right.
But even Bush is a godsend to this asshole.
Well, somebody said it online the other day. Somebody on Twitter said, you know, during the Bush administration, I never walked around worried about the end of the world or the end of democracy.
Yeah, you never woke up in fear. Yeah, he was an incompetent, bumbling fool, but he was not as incompetent or as scary with, you know, this
you could
one.
You could laugh
he
at him and go –
wasn't much of a loose cannon.
Yeah, you didn't get the idea that he was – you felt like some of his advisors, like Dick Cheney, were evil, but
yeah.
He was still the president.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With Trump, he's just – he's a buffoon, and he surrounded himself with evil people, and he's apt to listen to what they say, and that's what makes him scary. But you know what? Let's not let him off the hook. He's not a good person, and that's what shocks me is that all these people saw. Did you only know him from
The Apprentice?
From The Apprentice? Did you not know this whole history of him?
I think that's the case.
He had a history of bilking people and was almost bankrupt and done with before that show ever came along.
It's hard to imagine that anybody knows that. They just think he's the guy on The Apprentice. You know, that, oh yeah, he's good at saying you're fired. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's Emma
Crazy.
Arlene Crump. Oh, did you not like you don't like the middle name?
Oh, no, I love my
middle name. I can edit it out.
And her social security number is.
You want me to know, you want me to edit that out?
No, I love my
Emma.
Is that a Bowie Stormtrooper?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It's a Rebel Stormtrooper.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow. Rebel.
Look at that. How about that?
Double Rebel.
Our friend Emma's here.
Hello.
Hi, Emma. Bye, Emma.
Later,
Emma hates me.
She's got a drawer full of money.
Emma, can I have some money?
Emma's got a drawer full of money.
Who is the Batman?
Really? You keep going back to that song.
I like this one.
What's
I
got
a pocket full of sunshine.
Enough depression.
All right. Well, no, I'm going to end it on a downer.
Okay.
Mario's like, I'm determined.
That's the name of the episode. I'm going to end it on a downer.
Well, we are going to end on a down note, but we're not. We are. It's a little bit of a down. And
it's a brown note.
I didn't mention this before because I didn't want it to I didn't want it to paint the episode. I wanted to come in and kind of have a good time and you know. But we're ending the show. No, I'm kidding. Listen how
– That's not
shit.
Funny.
Listen, I can hear – I'm like Donald Trump. I see people cheering across the river when I announce that.
Across the river, Styx.
Yeah, don't mention Styx. I hate that band.
What?
Why?
It's a nerd band. I hate Styx.
You're a nerd.
The
man.
Worst.
Mr. Roboto.
Now, John. See, I was thinking about the other day. Mario's not a nerd. He's a geek.
I am. I'm a geek. I'm a nerd and a geek, but I don't like nerd.
No, you're not a nerd.
I don't like nerd geek music.
You're right about the Styx.
Well,
there are certain bands that are
nerd
geek bands, and I don't like any of them.
That could be the worst band of the 70s.
I'm not going to get into the definition, but just the feel of the word, right? Just feel the word.
Wait, you like Styx?
Styx are great.
I don't love them, but I like them.
Who said that? All right, who said that?
All right. Okay.
Who's that crazy woman in the corner?
What's your favorite Styx song, Emma?
Sail Away?
Probably.
What?
Or Angry Young Man.
John? What do you think of those songs?
I don't even know any of these songs.
I hate that band. They were huge when I was in high school. I hated them then. I hate them now.
Were you also a rebel in high school?
What's that?
Were you a rebel in high school?
No.
No reflection on you, Arlene.
John was a beachcomber boy.
A beachcomber? No. I was.
John the beachcomber?
I was invisible.
No, you weren't.
That voice? Hell
not
no.
To, pretty close. Not to be.
You were listening to punk, and you were cool, John.
You're cool.
Don't let anybody tell you different, John.
You were watching Star Wars. We still love you, Emma.
We forgive you.
My niece,
oh, that's nice.
My niece and her husband are huge, huge Styx fans.
Yeah.
And every time we get together, they bring up the fact that I don't like Styx. I'm
like, forgive your transgressions.
Why do you want to have this conversation with you? I'm just going to unload on you with all of my fury. You know what I mean?
It's
you might rephrase.
What are you
please.
Doing? Are you looking up a song right now? Don't you dare!
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm
oh
not.
No!
I'm not.
Not the Styx. Don't you
dare! Because he'll throw the board across the room.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't like that. There's a couple of bands that I don't.
They're screechy. They're high pitched and screechy. And
oh, look at Emma. She's gonna strangle you.
No.
We're still best friends, right?
Yes. I'm gonna have to leave this open for like a half minute though.
Why? What's up?
Oh,
I thought you left something.
No,
I thought you left us a gift.
Okay. She cropped us. It is, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what I thought. Here she comes.
I'm just going to leave this open.
Here
that's
comes
what,
Emma.
That's
no
what
reason.
A guy would do. I got to leave this door open. Is all right?
Emma's got a stack of books here.
I got some books.
Is thank you, Emma.
Is it anything good?
Star Trek.
Oh, all right. Leave him there.
Oh, we got Swamp Thing by Moore.
Yeah, I know. I don't own Swamp Thing.
We have all through... Like,
God, it doesn't feel heavy enough.
Right? It doesn't feel like a book.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, that's like 1 through 5. Where's the Bernie Wrightson Swamp Thing?
And then we have the Alan Moore one because we swear by the Alan Moore.
I know.
Everybody does.
I'm an old fart. I like the Bernie Wrightson Swamp Thing.
Overrated.
Who is?
Alan Moore.
Okay, thank you.
Just kidding. I just wanted to... I don't really feel that way.
I just wanted to cheer.
Bye, Emma.
Bye. All right,
let's wrap it up, guys.
I love that. Yeah. Okay, let's wrap this nonsense up.
Always remember to wrap it up.
Okay.
Wrap it up, I'll take it.
No one wants to bring a child into this world.
What's that from?
I don't know. I was just playing off him saying, let's wrap it up.
No one wants to bring
you should have a baby.
Nobody wants to bring a child into this world.
I don't want to now.
You shouldn't. Have a baby.
It's terrible.
What kind of world is
just
this?
Just have a baby.
You want to bring a... That child is going to be...
Have a baby.
You know what? I can't afford it.
Babies, you could have stopped buying comic books and board games.
I couldn't afford it even with, not buying comic books and board games.
You better do it.
That's why you save.
Yeah. I'm simply implying that in Trump's America, I don't have the health care to afford having a child. Thing.
Oh, what's the other one?
Am I able to buy a house anymore.
Let's see. There's something... Not today's. Yesterday's. They showed what's going on in Antarctica. They showed what's happening with the glaciers melting. They got like this great big full-page illustration of what exactly it's looking like and what's going to happen in the next couple of years.
We're doomed.
There's some scientists out there, figuring out how quickly these monster glaciers that have been there for hundreds of thousands of years, how quickly they're melting now. And they start talking about where the water's going to rise first, and how quickly.
We're fine.
This coming from the man on the coast of California.
Yeah,
we're fine.
It's the tide's not going to raise like 150 feet.
Fine. The tide is high, but I'm holding on.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm going to be your number one.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be fine. Yeah, but don't worry. Trump's president. Everything's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
So everybody have lots of babies.
All right, so
have babies now while you can. Patrick,
before I came in today,
you were going to end it on a down note.
We're going to end on a down, not a down note. We're going to end with a little happiness here, but
a happy ending.
Not really, but
just like a happy ending.
You guys are going to be so sad. You're saying all this stuff because right before I came over here, we found out my Aunt Eleanor passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And she has been battling Alzheimer's for the last 5 years or so. And my cousins have been really great about taking care of her. They have all taken shifts, and some of them weren't working towards the end. She was in hospice at home. Great woman, wonderful woman, one of the kindest people I've ever met. My mom's older sister. They're like a year apart. They're only a year apart. It's been like we spoke with your uncle. We talk about your uncle, mm-hmm. Patrick. It's hard to see somebody you love.
Yeah.
Just kind of, and especially Alzheimer's, because it, you know, it robs somebody of their identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as I was listening to, in getting ready to do the next episode of Pat Francis's Rock Solid Show, I've been listening to a lot of the Kinks. And I went back from the beginning and been listening to every album. So I got to State of Confusion not too long ago, because I've been listening to all the 80s stuff. And one of my favorite songs on there was a song called Come Dancing. And I was thinking about it when I was listening to it today, that I didn't have sisters growing up. I have brothers, but no sisters. But we grew up in a family with a ton of cousins. I had 27 cousins, and 19 of them are girls. And we would always hang out at my Aunt Eleanor's house, like on Fridays when I was growing up, like in junior high. And the song Come Dancing came out around 1982, so I was about 11 or 12 years old at the time. And it was one of those songs, it was like a big hit for the Kinks. They hadn't had a hit that big since Lola, maybe, John?
Yeah.
It was everywhere. It was everywhere. You would hear it
And on MTV, too.
It was on MTV. And I remember, I didn't have MTV at the time, but I remember hearing it coming out of like car radios, and you would hear it. And the story of Come Dancing is that it's Ray telling a story about his sister who is lamenting the fact that a place that she used to go dance is now gone. And it's very much in the Ray Davies, let's listen to the let's harken back to the old days kind of that kind of sentiment. But in it, he tells the story of watching his older sister get ready to go out when the boys would come calling. And it kind of reminded me of being at my aunt's on like a Friday when some of my older cousins were getting ready to go out. And so much of the music I listened to at that time was I would record some of my cousins' LPs and put them on tape after they would leave. Mm. So this song kind of puts me in that mindset. And it very much reminds me of those nights at my Aunt Eleanor's house, hanging out with my cousins and then watching my older cousins get ready to go out. And go have their dates and go to Skateland or whatever it was they did, whatever mysteries they did. So I want to close with Come Dancing and pay tribute to my Aunt Eleanor, a wonderful and sweet lady who will be very sorely missed. Just had the most wonderful smile and was generally one of the kindest, loveliest people you could ever want to meet. So God bless you, Aunt Eleanor, and we're going to go out with this song. So for Patrick, Jake, and John, we will see you next time. Fight the Power, and what's my new one?
Come Dancing.
This transmission ends now.
Parking lot on a piece of land where the supermarket used to stand. Before that they put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. That's where the big band used to come and play. My sister went there on a Saturday. Come dancing, all her boyfriends used to come and call. Why not come dancing? It's only natural.